So if I have you take out a piece of tablet paper and write down 10 blessings, when you're done, we'll all go home. What do you think? Count your many blessings. You can all count to 10, right? That wouldn't be too hard. And I bet most of you have 10 blessings from God. Maybe this past week. Maybe just this weekend. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. I think about 50 years ago, my wife and I sang a duet in a church that she attended down on Williston Road. And we sang Count Your Many Blessings. That was pretty bad. I can't sing very well. I'm probably a better talker than I am a singer. But we got through it and nobody threw anything at us. So today I'd like to talk about blessings. I feel very blessed by God. And I hope all of us do this morning. I need some volunteers this morning. I need, I think, 6 volunteers. And since you're not raising your hand, I'm going to call on 6 of you. Is that okay? And we'll see if you will say yes to this. Keith Ware, I'd like you to be one of the volunteers, if you wouldn't mind. Keith, if you would write this down, I would like you to read a couple verses from Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Esther Baer, would you like to read something for me this morning? Would you do that? Okay. Esther, if you'll open your Bible to Psalm 100, I'd like Esther to read Psalm 100. Bob Murray, are you available today? Can I get you to read a passage from the Bible? Would you do that for me? Psalm 118, 1 through 6. Keith, you're going to read Psalm 119, 1 through 10, and 28 and 29 in a few minutes. And Bob, 118, 1 through 6. Esther, you've got Psalm 100. Eric Gee. Eric, would you mind doing a psalm for me, or part of a psalm? It'd be Psalm 103, 1 through 6. And Pat Baer, would you mind doing, Pat, Psalm 107, 1 through 9? Now, I'm going to repeat those again. Maybe instead of me preaching, we'll just read some psalms. And we'll figure out how to count our blessings, right? I've had trouble counting my blessings at different times in my life. And some of these psalms will bring some of that up. Well, let's see. Ken, would you read Psalm 63, 1 through 7? So I've got Ken on 160. Ken's going to read Psalm 63, 1 through 7. And Esther's going to read Psalm 100. Eric Gee has got Psalm 103, 1 through 6. Pat Baer's got 107, 1 through 9. Bob Murray's got 118, 1 through 6. If you could, Bob. And Keith, you're going to go last, if that's okay. Keith, I ask you first, but you're going to be last. That's kind of the way it goes in church. Psalm 119, 1 through 10, and 28 to 29. Now, this is the scary part. I want all of you people to come up here and sit on the front bench. And I'm going to give you the mic, because I want everybody out there to be able to hear you when you read that passage, okay? Is that going to be too scary for you? Would you mind coming up and sit here? And I'm going to ask that, Ken, you sit first, and then Esther, you sit next to him. So come on up, folks. Eric Gee, you're going to be third in row. Pat, you'll be number 4. Bob Murray will be number 5. And Keith Ware will be number 6. So we got Ken, Esther, Eric, Pat, Bob, you sit on the other side of Pat. Yep. And Keith, you're going to be the tail end. I'm sorry, Keith, but I pick on teachers. We teachers pick on each other. Keith and I both taught school, so we kind of know what this is like. So Ken's going to read 63, 1 through 7. And Ken, go ahead.
Is this on? Yeah. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in dry land and thirsty land, there where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because the long loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be sanctified as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, I meditate on thee in the night watches.
Amen. Thank you. Esther?
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his and we people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Thank you, Esther. Eric?
Praise the Lord, all my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, all my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sin and heals your diseases, redeems your life from the pit of crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Lord's works righteousness and justice for all who is oppressed.
Thank you, Eric.
Psalms 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things.
Thank you, Pat. Psalm 118, 1 through 6, Bob.
Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?
Thank you, Bob. Ken?
Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed. When I look into all your commandments, I will praise you and up with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart, I have sought you. And then
28 and 29.
Yeah. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me your law graciously.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You can go back to your seats. Appreciate it. Are you ready to bless God now? Have you written any psalms of your own? Maybe we should all go home and write a psalm this afternoon. We came to church this morning to praise God, didn't we? We've been praising God through song and the reading of his word. Okay? I pray that my words might also give glory and honor to God. All right, as we continue for a few minutes. If we could have that, count your many blessings. I want to read Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done. Many. How many is many? Oh God, many are your wonders. Many are your blessings. The things that you have planned for us. Thank you, God, for the plans you have for us. None can compare to you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. We'd miss the football game. We wouldn't have time. One night I had a dream. I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to me and one belonged to my Lord. I looked back at the footprints in the sand, and I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the lowest and the saddest times of my life, there were only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked God about it. Lord, you said once, if I decided to follow you, that you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed during the saddest and the most troublesome times in my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. And he whispered, my precious child, I love you and I will never leave you. Never, ever, during your trials and your testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Oh, that's an awesome poem. And we forget that so often. But what I didn't see, I see only one set of footprints. But what I didn't see was God carrying me. But when I look back at this poem and I read it again and again, it says, during the lowest and saddest times in my life, during the troublesome times in my life, during the trials and testimonies of my life, well, you know, I've seen him sometimes in my testings and in my trials. I felt his presence, and I bet you have too. You know, when I've forgotten him, when I've got it all together. I forget God often when I've got it all together. Life is going along smooth. I don't need God. I'm doing a pretty good job. I got a job at school. I got a family. I don't have credit card debt. I'm not hooked on drugs. I don't really need God. You know, I think I can walk by myself. I think I need to read this poem and have open eyes. Yes, we all cry out to God, like Moses does in our Sunday school lesson later today. When we're tested and when they're ready to throw stones at us, we cry to God. When the house is on fire or the church is falling down, we cry out to God. But we forget about God when things are going good. And he even told us we would when we entered the promised land. He said, you're going to get in there and have the land of milk and honey, and you're going to kind of forget me. And you're going to drift away from me. So I think my sermon this morning isn't really a sermon. It's just going to be a testimony. Okay? So if you want to leave now, you can. If you want to just write down 10 blessings that you've had, you've got your homework done, go ahead and praise God for the rest of the day. I'll give part of my testimony. So earlier in August, I went to a reunion at Beaver Camp. And it was August 16, 17, and 18, I think, 2019. Well, I went to Beaver Camp back in 1969, which was 50 years earlier. And so this summer, they had a 50th anniversary party for Beaver Camp. And I said, well, man, I was there in 1969. I'll go back. I kind of like Beaver Camp. I've got some good memories about Beaver Camp. And we'll go back. But then I found out that we were having a meeting here at church, down in the fellowship hall. And I says, I can't go to Beaver Camp. I can't go. We got issues here. I got to stay here and face the music. I got to be part of the music or part of the screeching or part of the noise or whatever. And I wrestled with God. I don't know. What should I do? I asked Pastor Dave Gaiman, should I stay here or should I go? I was torn. I was in a bad place. I was kind of like that saddest and troublesome time of my life. And we decided to go. We went. And I went with mixed feelings, and I went sad, and I went discouraged. So do you ever go to reunions? You like reunions? You go to your class reunion, you see all these old people there. That's no fun. Everybody got old and heavy and bald and whatever. You see old friends, you talk about the good old days, and you kind of cry about it because you're not good and old, you're not young and active anymore. But it's kind of good to go to reunions periodically to see old friends. You get perspective, right? We reflect on life. We recount all the good that we've had and all the ways we've been blessed for 50 years, maybe. So it was kind of good for me to go to the reunion. But I missed what was going on here. Do you like to go to funerals? How about for homework? You go to 3 funerals this week. That'd be a real riot, wouldn't it? Go to some funerals. Those are kind of discouraging and sad. But sometimes it's good for us to go to funerals to see how people die. Now, they don't die right there at the funeral, do they? They usually come prepackaged. They're dead. But we go to the funeral to show respect, and we go to the funeral to reflect on their life, and we often talk about the good they did. And that's helpful. It's good for us to go to the funerals to see how people lived and died, so we might be challenged to do a little bit better. It's good to go to reunions. It's good to go to funerals. We reflect on life. We maybe encourage them. Often I come away from funerals uplifted. I got to do a little better. I'm still alive. I still have time to make course corrections. We can be blessed by going to funerals. Blessed to hear how they lived their life, their faithfulness, their ups as well as their downs. Count your many blessings. Count the times and places that God has touched you in a special way. So have you made a diagram of your life? And God touched me here, and God touched me here, and God touched me here. Sometimes I was in the valley, and sometimes I was on the mountain. Well, August 2019 at Beaver Camp, God got me up on a mountain. That was the best reunion I've ever been at. And I was so blessed. And God encouraged me so much. And he gave me a shot of adrenaline and he gave me a encouragement. He comforted me. Praise God. I want to go back to Beaver Camp. I want to go back up on the mountain. I don't know if I want to come home and get back in the dirty and gritty activities of life. Here we got to slug it out. We got to work it out. We got to sweat. We got to pray. But everybody likes it up on the mountain. But I learned a lot of things at Beaver Camp on those 3 days. I had to ask myself, and I was asked at Beaver Camp by the speakers, is the Holy Spirit upon you? How many times have you sensed his presence in a powerful way? Maybe when you had the first child born. Maybe when God answered a prayer. Maybe you were at a concert at Six Flags. A concert. Maybe you were close to God at an altar call. Maybe you were touched by God when you went and kneeled at the altar and confessed. Maybe it was a funeral. Maybe it was a wedding. Well, God touched me this past year at Beaver Camp in August. Praise God. And it felt good. And then I had to think back, well, you know, he's touched me before. But sometimes I don't pay attention. And sometimes I don't record it. Because I'm too busy. Because I'm in charge. And I'm doing my thing. My way. And that's kind of who Don Schmidt is most of the time. I need to go to funerals and reunions. And I need to come to church. And I need the valleys. And I like the mountaintops. I should keep a spiritual journey. I think King David did as he wrote the Psalms. He wrote some happy Psalms and he wrote some sad Psalms. Well, my first trip to Beaver Camp was in 1969, and I've got 20 pictures I'm going to show you after the sermon if you want to stay for them. 20 pictures of Beaver Camp from 1969 to 2019. 50 years of Beaver Camp. You only get 20 pictures because some of us don't even know what Beaver Camp is, and I wanted to make a little more sense this morning. Well, in 1969, I was only 20 years old. And I was just recently engaged to this woman over here. She's another blessing. I got some blessings. I got a few blessings. So I was 20 going on 21. And I went to Beaver Camp because my Uncle Cal Beachy said, we need a counselor. Because we just bought the camp in 1969 in May. And a bunch of Christian men from this church and maybe six other churches in Western New York bought the camp as a nonprofit organization. It cost them $60,000. And they had to raise money to put a down payment on a $60,000 property, 12 acres and some old buildings on a lake in the Adirondacks. My uncle was only 45 years old, and he pushed it. And I have another uncle, Joseph Kipfert, that pushed it, and Bruce Klinglesmith, and Jerry Bozard, and I could mention a lot more. But I can't go to Beaver Camp and be a counselor for a whole week because I'm getting married, and I got to work. And I got the work ethic of my mother. And that's a blessing and sometimes that's a curse. Okay? They come in both packages sometimes. But I said, okay, I'll go to Beaver Camp and be a counselor the first week of camp. And it was only for 2 weeks that summer. And I was blessed. And I was able to get married in December, a little later on. And I haven't missed the money. I was only making $4 an hour back then anyway. I mean, what's 40 hours of work at $4 an hour? That's chicken feed. Now I can almost go out and eat a dinner out this afternoon. So I went, and so I thought I should go back here this past August. And I went back, and I was humbled when I went back. I was humbled because, well, where's George? Where's Julie? Where's Rachel? What did you come for? You're an old man. We want to see the people that were up here as counselors and as campers, the people that worked at Beaver Camp like Emma's doing all summer, or some of our other young people over the years. So my wife and I went back, and we kind of felt out of place. Well, we're the old folks. They're coming back to, like a high school reunion, to see all their friends over 50 years and how George and Julie and Rachel and others impacted each other, encouraged each other, and challenged each other to live the Christian life. So I ran into all their friends, or a lot of them. And then I got back and said, Julie, you should have been there. George, you should have come. They didn't need me there. I was there just for 1 week, and I didn't have much of an impact. But my kids did. That's pretty humbling. That's pretty humbling. So I was blessed out of my socks. I was renewed. I was restored. My eyes were open. God touched me. He lifted me up. It's the high point of my year. It's the high point of my decade. It might be the high point of my life. I don't know yet. I got to reflect more on it. It was good. Thank you, Jesus. So let's go a few slides down. I want to show you who spoke at Beaver Camp for those 3 days. So it might be slide 6 or 7. Footsteps in the sand, I read that. Okay, look at these 6 guys. Well, there's 1 girl up there. You might know some of the names. Some of you don't know any of the names. The lady is somebody that I don't know, but I knew the other 4. Because, you know, I was 31 years old, and I'd taken my kids to Beaver Camp, and my wife was driving them back and forth. Sometimes we'd go up and back to Beaver Camp 3 times in the summer. And I know some of you have been the same place. So Penn Clark was a pastor there over the summers. Keith Zare was a pastor administrator. Terry Zare, Burl Jancy, Eric Bazell. So I knew all those guys, but I only talked to them for 5 minutes back in 1983 and maybe 6 minutes in 1991, and I didn't know them very well. But I go to the reunion, and guess what? They are speaking. And then I get the full story. And then God opens my eyes to see the blessings that I didn't see for 50 years. And I was blessed, and I was humbled, because they opened my eyes to what God had been doing, kind of through me, but also through my kids, and mostly through the camp. And all of the people that put up wallpaper, that worked at the Beaver Camp, auctions, etc., over the years. So, let's see. I got plenty of time. This is good. I'm way ahead of schedule. You might get out here earlier today. That'll be a shock. You might get to the Bills game early or get to the TV early. All right, I'm going to talk. I like to take notes when I'm sitting there, and I take notes every Sunday on my iPad now, because I've upgraded to an iPad besides the old notebook paper. When I was there at Beaver Camp, I took notes on everybody. Okay? So I'm going to read you some quotes. I'm going to tell you the things that really encouraged me from these people. Now, Penn Clark, he didn't have anything in front of him. He just spoke, because he's a good speaker and he's got it all in his head and he doesn't get confused like I do. And the same thing with Keith Zare. Keith Zare can just get up here and preach a 25-minute sermon or an hour and a half sermon without any notes. I can't do that. I can't sing either. I told you that, right? Okay, so I'm going to read a little bit about Penn Clark. Now, when I got home, I was so excited and so blessed, I almost called up every one of these 6 people and said, can you send me your notes? Well, Penn Clark didn't have any notes. It's just all in his head. So the only thing I got was what I could scratch down quickly while he was talking. Two of them didn't have any notes. The rest of them did. So I'm going to read you some quotes, but sometimes it's not verbatim because I'm just a note taker, and sometimes I'm not a good note taker. Penn Clark spoke on Friday night. He talked about seeing with the eyes of one's heart, to bless people instead of blaming people, to see clearly what God is or might be doing in all of our issues and all of our troubles that we have in life, to be positive instead of negative. Well, I needed that. To be positive instead of downcast. I needed that. He said, our feelings should not control our attitude. Well, my feelings were right down there on the floor. So my attitude wasn't much off the floor, okay? When you look at what you look at and what you dwell on affects your feelings. I needed that. Don't let your fears control your feelings. I'm afraid of this and I'm afraid of that, and I get lousy feelings again. Don't let your fears control your life. I needed that. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. He gave a great talk. I have never been so happy to sit in five sermons or six sermons. I was just great. I was just being blessed time after time after time, and I didn't know what they were going to talk on. And I came there full of woe and trouble. And then he said a few things like this. At Beaver Camp, and he worked there, I'm not sure how many years as pastor, etc., they stretch you at Beaver Camp. They put you on things like the ropes course, and they send you up 20 feet. And you're shaking with fear. And they do this to all our kids. And they put them in situations that are tough for the kids. But they grow, and they're stretched. And that's kind of what God does with you and me through life. He puts us in situations that we don't really like, that it's tough to get through. But we need that. Beaver Camp, Penn Clark said, has been profoundly important for stretching our children. It stretches the counselors because they've never counseled before. And they learn leadership skills. And they come back to our churches and they are on the worship team. Or they are in the sound booth. Or they're working for God. Beaver Camp is a good place to send your kids. They teach you not to be limited by your fears, your hesitations. They stretch you. Are you willing to sing? Let's sing. Are you willing to do skits? Are you willing to give a testimony? Are you willing to work in groups? Leadership training, walking in faith, reaching out, being sensitive to the other people in your cabin, praying together in a cabin with six or seven people, and a counselor. That's very good for some of our teenagers. That's a good place for them to be. Keith's Air. So I bulleted a couple of them here. Spoke about the anointing of God. Beaver Camp, he said, has been anointed and blessed by God for the past 50 years. But the anointing and blessing of God can be taken away. That's what Keith said. It can be taken away if we turn away from obedience to his word and his commandments. He cited the passage in 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 16, and how and why God's spirit and anointing was taken away from King Saul, and how it was given to King David. And King David was anointed, and the spirit came upon him. So Keith, one of the things he said, obedience to biblical teaching and practice is key for continued blessing. Well, that's the story of the Bible. That not only happened to Saul and David, but all the other characters in the Bible. If we want to be blessed, we must stay in his word, in his will. Keith talked about church attendance. He said that in the 1950s, about 70% of us went to church every Sunday. Today, it's about 40%. We've got all other things to do. We're changing. Our culture's changing. Keith Zare said, maybe camp experiences will become the new church of the future. Maybe we're not getting it here. Maybe we're getting it at places like Beaver Camp, when and if they have and continue to have the anointing. He pointed out the Holy Spirit was active in the Old Testament. It was also active in the early 1970s with Wes Smith, Dan Yutzi, Penn Clark. God's Spirit works in ways, in its own way, in its own time. But obedience to God is crucial. The Spirit is working today, Keith said, in many of our young people. Beaver Camp has been a big help in challenging our youth to walk into the new things, new challenges, new skills, new talents to reach out to others and to the world for Christ. Now, this is a direct quote. I got this one because I thought it was kind of neat. Keith said this, "We baby boomers are overfed and overweight." And I had to say, okay, yeah. "We need to see the strength and the power of the next generation." I'd like to see the young kids taking jobs in the church. I feel blessed because of that. I'm going to write that down as one of my blessings. Keith also acknowledged the vision and the work of the founders of Beaver Camp, the staff people. All right, Terry Zare. Terry Zare. Now, Terry Zare, he wrote it out. He sent me his speech. His sermon. So I got it. So this is verbatim, okay? And I'm not going to give it to you all because then it would be here till 1 o'clock. Because some of the speeches were longer than others, all right? Beaver Camp, quote, is a place that encourages us to remember that God is with us. The Spirit is alive and that we belong to Jesus. And at Beaver Camp, that's emphasized. Nothing is more central than that, and nothing we talk about this weekend is separated from that. Beaver Camp is a location where Mennonite Christians 50 years ago took a risk, opened up their wallets, their financial resources, and began building what we enjoy today. But the way we measure Beaver Camp is only ever in discipleship to Jesus. That is what guides us and that is what drives us. We recognize what Paul said in his letter to the church at Corinth. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Terry said this, as a young boy under 10, I did not know any of the background. I didn't know my folks gave money that stretched their resources further than I would feel comfortable with myself. I didn't know that they were thinking about us and about discipleship to Jesus. I didn't know that they were coming up here for days and even weeks at a time with four young children, which also meant that they had no income for their family for 1 week or 2 weeks. I didn't know the level of sacrifice it took, a sacrifice it meant to walk into this place in the dead of winter and to check it out, or the absolute huge scale of volunteer work it took to put the motel units in, take on Project 94, repair and restore old buildings, develop the challenge course. I didn't know any of that. I was just a kid. I lost my voice every time I came to camp. When I went home every year, I cried. I couldn't wait until next year I could come back. And I remember counselors and camp pastors who moved me into Christ. Terry Zare talked about the setting. Sometimes we see God more in nature than we do in a building like this. Sometimes a sunset will bring us closer to God than maybe a Sunday morning. And so there's definitely a place for church, but there's definitely a place for where Jesus went up on the hillside to pray or to get away from the crowds. We need both. Burl Jancy, a little bit of what he said. He talked about the first missionary. The first missionary is mentioned in Romans 1:20. You know who the first missionary was? Creation. Creation. Before any church was built. Creation gets you close to God. The universe tells you there's a God. Burl Jancy talked about the strengths of camp and creation over sometimes our church settings. Our walk is not always easy. We have ups and downs. Sometimes it's nice to go to camp and get away from church, to get away from home, to get away from the problems at home. And they may be problems in the house or problems in the church house. This talk was very good. To come to camp and to sing Our Father's World, the wonderful gift of creation, the heavens have a voice, and he quoted scripture. Is camp better than church? He asked. Where do you experience God the best? God is in both places. God is in church, in the building, from time to time, if we invite him, if we look for him, if we call upon him. Are we looking for God? And to make this a little quicker, let's just say that he talked about our early years and our maturity. So when we're a new child in Christ, camp and the outdoors is a very helpful setting for us to come to Christ. But as we grow, Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. So as we grow in Christ, we are to be transformed by Christ, and our habits should change, and our addiction should lessen. It means that our minds need to be renewed and changed and enlightened and molded and strengthened and disciplined. We become sanctified. And he said that that's what Beaver Camp does. We take the kids at 8 or 9 or 10 for a week with older teenagers. It's not mom and dad preaching the gospel to them, but somebody that it's good to see it from a different angle. Kids can sometimes reach kids quicker than I can. At least that's what Burl is suggesting here, is a strength of the camp. And he gave the example about the caterpillar and the butterfly. Do you like caterpillars? You ever count how many legs they have? I've never done that, but Burl said that they've got about 100 legs. A caterpillar has a lot of legs. But eventually a caterpillar is supposed to grow up and become a butterfly. And I guess when you become a butterfly, you've only got 4 legs. I didn't know that, so I got a little science too. That was for free. Do you want to learn to fly? Are you willing to change? Are you afraid of change? Do you want to hold on to your legs? Are you content being a caterpillar for your entire life? God wants you to change into a butterfly. God wants you to change into a mature Christian. And he says camp helps to do that and to move young kids along and teenagers along as they get practice being counselors. Lydia Johnson, I didn't know her, spoke very well. She's talked about obedience again and intentionality. You have to be intentional in what you're doing, in your outreach, in your teaching. Beaver Camp has been very intentional about building and using and praying for this camp. It has had a great impact on many. And she talked about Deuteronomy, chapters 28, 29, and 30, about the blessings and the cursings that we receive from God, depending on how we line up with his law. If we ignore his law, we're going to be in the ditch a lot. If we ignore the speed limits, we're going to be crashing quite a bit. Philippians 2, 12 to 15, work out your salvation in the midst of a crooked and twisted world. Work out what he has worked into you. Walk it out. It's your assignment. It's your job. Eric Bazell was the last one. Eric spoke on Sunday. And Eric Bazell gave his testimony. I'd never heard his testimony. I'd bumped into him a few times. I thought he was doing a good job with my kids, but I'm busy. I'm working down here. I didn't want to even take my kids up there this week. And my kids know Eric Bazell and all of these people better than I do. Atheist until the age of 24. Gave his testimony. I want to focus this morning, and this is a quote. He sent me his sermon, 6 pages long. Got 6 minutes, I guess. Okay. Quote, I want to focus this morning on God's very special anointing upon Beaver Camp for salvation for children. Prior to starting at Beaver Camp, over the years, I had witnessed and experienced God's anointing on various ministries, including that in my own church. The first summer at Beaver Camp, I witnessed firsthand an anointing for children's salvation that far exceeded anything I had experienced in the past. It was so obvious that God had established this camp for the primary purpose of revealing himself to young people. This is from an outsider. This is from a former atheist who ended up working at Beaver Camp for 16 summers, various positions, eventually director of the kids' camp. This is a very special and precious anointing that was here before I came, and it remains here to this day. But will it remain? Those of us who cherish our encounters with Jesus Christ at Beaver Camp must now become the stewards and the gatekeepers, ensuring that God's life-changing presence will stay here for generations to come. We have heard a lot about stewardship this weekend, and it certainly is true that Beaver Camp needs volunteers and it needs financial support to fulfill its mission. We can partake in all that Beaver has to offer today because of the hard work and sacrificial giving of those who answered God's call in the earlier generations. Gatekeeping, as the term implies, is all about keeping appropriate things on the inside of the gate and keeping inappropriate things on the outside of the gate. In the Old Testament times, the temples had gatekeepers whose job it was to prevent anyone or anything that might defile the temple from entering the temple. In my opinion, the most important thing we have to do on the inside of the gate today here at Beaver Camp is to continue to honor the camp's long tradition of God's Word and the Bible. Part of the Beaver Camp statement of faith reads, "We believe that all Scripture is inspired by God through the Holy Spirit for instruction in salvation and training in righteousness. From Genesis to Revelation, individual people and nations have honored God's Word, have thrived. But the ones that haven't honored his word have not thrived. Those individuals or nations that dishonor or disobey God's word have always failed to succeed in their own wisdom and strength. I want to refresh us this morning with a few scriptures." And he read some scriptures. I'm going to jump across that for a moment. History reveals many churches and parachurch organizations were founded by godly men and under the pressure of the Holy Spirit. Many of these organizations were powerful ministries for a season, but somehow over time lost their God-ordained mission, focus, and critical anointing of the Holy Spirit. Yale University started out as a divinity school. Today, one of their School of Divinity faculty members is an open atheist. Obviously, there's been a long history here of compromising the scriptures to lead to the current state of affairs. One has to ask the question, where were the gatekeepers at Yale University? Those of you who have ever been involved in the Boy Scouts will recognize the pledge. Any Boy Scouts here? I was a former Boy Scout, 3 months. I was a tenderfoot. I can't remember what they called me. It wasn't much, but here, I had to memorize this oath. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to my God and my country and to obey the Scout Law. The Scout Law says, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. This summer at the World Scout Jamboree in West Virginia, 2019, Scout leaders were required to inform all Scouts that condoms are readily available on site for use by all Scouts. In just over 100 years, an organization with a vision and a mission to assist in the godly maturing of young men has disintegrated into an organization bent on pleasing the immoral fringes of our culture. Today, the Scout movement is both morally and financially bankrupt. Where were the gatekeepers in the Scouts? In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." The scripture applies to Christian organizations as well as individuals. Satan is a smart strategist, and as such realizes that he is way ahead of the game if he can bring down an entire ministry by attacking the leadership. The battle strategy of capturing an army's leader or general is an old strategy that's worked in many wars. Satan's strategy for destroying ministries always involves enticing the leadership. It is always enticing for leadership to consider, well, if we compromise a little on this one thing, more people will come to our ministry. Don't get pulled in by that wile of the devil. The children and teens who are coming to Beaver Camp these days have already been indoctrinated by public schools and by Hollywood to consider their lifestyles as normal. He's talking about the gay threat that we have in our culture today, homosexuality, etc. So he says, quote, "The children and the teens who are now coming to camp these days have already been indoctrinated in the public schools and by Hollywood to consider the lifestyles normal and acceptable. Children's cartoons and movies now often include homosexual characters portrayed in an affirming way. Children and teens are getting the message they need to search for their true gender identity and their sexual orientation, to consider all of the options out there." That's what our children are being taught by our schools and our culture. Our children are being taught that anyone who speaks out against this lifestyle is guilty of prejudice, and that such prejudice is now compared to and said to be as evil as racial prejudice, and that speaking out against these lifestyles today can be considered hate speech. How will Beaver Camp respond to this attack in the next 50 years? So Burrell talks about that. Of course, the greatest act of love, Burrell says, toward anyone living in any sin is to lead them into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. If Beaver Camp is to continue ministering under the current powerful anointing of the Holy Spirit, all board members and staff must continue to honor the entire Word of God. Goes on a little further. So let me finish. My eyes were opened to what God has been doing at Beaver Camp for 50 years, and I wasn't aware of it. I thought I was a great dad. I thought I was a great husband, a great provider. And my kids are semi-successful and living properly because of me. I went to Beaver Camp and I found out that, you know, God was doing a great thing, and I didn't even notice it. And I think he's done that for all of us. He's protected me from accidents on the highway, and I didn't even know it. I don't know how many times I just about died on the highway, and I bet some of you too. He has his eyes upon us. He's watching us. He's blessed us in so many ways. And I had to go to Beaver Camp this summer to learn about what Beaver Camp has done for our young people, some of us sitting here. And then I had to count my blessings. I had to count my blessings that I had Cal Beachy and Al Beachy as my Sunday school teachers, that I had Ruth Roth and Leonard Roth as my youth leaders, for the pastors that I've been able to sit under in this church, in this community. I've been blessed, and I've taken it for granted. And I haven't even thanked God for so many of the blessings. I thought I was doing it all. No, God was carrying me and watching over me and my kids and teaching my kids, and I didn't even know it. I was just getting kind of angry that I got to go to Beaver Camp three times in the summer, mostly my wife, but she's taking my gas money and going up and down there, and they're just playing. They weren't just playing. They were growing from caterpillars to butterflies. Don Schmidt has to be less stingy. Don Schmidt has to wake up. Don Schmidt has to open his eyes and see what God is doing. Not feel sorry for the issues. We all have issues. Life's not perfect. And that's what I learned at Beaver Camp. God is so good. He has watched over me. He has blessed me. He has carried me and my kids and my church family in ways that I don't even know. So my eyes were opened a little bit at this 50th party. I have been blind and I have been ignorant. Joe Erb Sr. was the president of the Alden Mennonite School Board, and he gave me a diploma when I graduated in eighth grade, maybe just about in this location. The old gym was right here. Joe Bear Sr. inspired me to teach history. Merv Miller coached the softball team. David Miller, Ron Miller taught at the school here that I attended. I attended Lauraville Mennonite Camp as a 10 and 11-year-old. I was blessed there. I came to the Lord there and came back home and got baptized. I didn't think that was such a big deal. I had to wait till 2019 to go to Beaver Camp to find out what God has been doing in my life and just say, thank you, God. Edna and Levi Schlabach, a rock, a steady, a humble, a deeply caring couple from our church. Bill and Levine Amast. And I could go on, but it's 2 minutes after, so I got to quit. Let's pray. Let me read this prayer, if I could. Thank you, God, for so many blessings. Thank you, God, for your willingness to use me with all my imperfections and all my hang-ups. Thank you, God, for using me when I cannot even see what is going on around me. Thank you for carrying me when I'm not aware of it. Thank you for carrying me when I think I'm in control. As we walk in the future, as a church and as families and individuals, we ask and we pray, Lord, that you continue your anointing and your blessing on us. Forgive us, Lord, where we have sinned. Thank you for your mercy and your love. We thank you for second chances. We praise you and we worship you. In that name we pray. Amen.